Breakfast is on us. 102.9 Fresh FM.
It's 8:15 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Not so long ago, Shaquan. Abudi Issa Kamata, our football library. Just off-air conversations. He was saying he doesn't understand why Namibians love this song. Because this was the song that was to celebrate that victory.
1998, yeah.
Yeah, when they beat us, you know, 1-4 Bafana, 2-4 what. Those are all the goals that they scored against us. So why are we here celebrating this damn song?
No, it's a nice song. But it doesn't come close to the winner, the warrior.
Oh, yes.
Chop. Yeah. something.
That's always very express.
I know.
TKZ and Benny McCarthy on Namibia's Heart and Soul with Shibobo, the final countdown. 8:16, that's your time. Thank you so much for choosing us. Now, we did promise you a conversation with the director of the Civil Society Information Center Namibia. And this is stemmed from the conversation of sim registration. As we know, you know, the country or the government, the powers that be, have been on this journey. It has been extended to March 31st. But there are also calls that are opposing the sim registration in different layers. And we're going to understand that today with Osi Melanie Marcus. Good morning, Osi. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's fantastic to have you in studio, Osi.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I've been listening, so it's such an exciting pleasure to be here today.
I was about to ask, how does it feel?
That means we need to give her
a
Now, let's talk about this situation. You know what I mean? Let's make us understand, because you know, like when you how to put it, when you look at things from far, right? And when you see all this opposition, one just sits here and says, "Ah, let's talk net express. What is the problem? Can register the same." So make us understand what is the opposition here? Maybe contextualize here for us what seems to be the problem from your studies, especially from the civil society and anyone else. Why there's an opposition to registering your
SIM cards? Yeah.
Okay, I need to first of all make you understand who civil society is, because this is an important sector that isn't always taken in seriously with regards to what our thoughts and our actions are. Civil society is an important aspect to a democratic country.
Yes.
Civil society being watchdogs of the nation. So therefore, making sure that all policies and all legislation goes in favor of the people on the ground. So whatever actions that we take in our country should be human rights friendly. So when we look at SIM card registration, number one, for instance, we do not directly oppose to it. What we're saying is we do not have legislation protecting the people. So on a national level, on a national surveillance level, it is a good thing to have SIM cards registration because nationally it has national security purposes. However, the concern is human rights security. So how much of our human rights aspects are secure within this new structure that we're going into? Let's look at how the campaign was rolled out, number one. So how much of our people really do understand what the SIM card registration is all about?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
The campaign message was not clear enough to everybody, especially to people in rural areas. So everybody is just told, register, it is for your protection. Your protection how? National protection how? How and who has access to this information that I'm declaring to the state, for instance? So having looked at all of these things, we've seen that there are certain gaps, and we're calling these gaps into action. And we're calling the national policymakers to really just explain to the people what it means. Let's go back to number one. What does ZIM stand for? How many of our people understand subscriber identification model?
I am today years old.
Yeah, even me.
Subscriber
identification
model.
Model. Yes. Okay.
That is what ZIM stands for.
Okay.
So in itself, it says you need to identify yourself as the subscriber.
Right.
Yeah.
So we take that and we agree with that. So therefore, it is important. But does our national legislation protect us? Do we have a data protection policy? Do we have a cyber protection policy in place? So having looked at all of these things, we're realizing there are gaps within our framework.
So basically, what civil society is saying here from what you just said right now is, in the absence of all this protective legislature, I'm assuming that is the case. We don't have protective legislature to protect the end user. Perhaps the question now is, do we have a cause for concern that this data, that this information may land in the wrong hands in a Namibian perspective? Do we have a cyber problem to that effect?
We do not have exact data to say, but we also do not have directly prescribed orders in terms of how data can be retrieved. As of the privacy is under threat. Our human privacy is under threat with this act. In terms of, we do not know who has access and how they can get access to it. And then we have the issue of the data retention. So what it says is our data will be retained for about 5 years in the system. So if somebody gets a court order, somebody can come at you for something you said 5 years ago. And you didn't remember what you said 5 years ago. So who and how does people have access to the data that we store within our SIM cards? Number two, we also look at what the Communications Act says, for instance.
Okay.
So there are two sets of legislation that is guiding this act, which is the Communications Act Part 6. And then it's the National Security Policy. So all of this mandates a court order for retrieving the data, of course.
Yes.
So then what our concern is that it should be relevant, not necessary. So at times, this data could be retrieved for minor offenses as well, and not just for serious crime. So there's the concern that this information is not clear as to how and who retrieves the information and has access to this information, and therefore causes a concern. And then number two, there isn't a strict written down policy. So I've mentioned just now that do not have a data protection law on our ruling books, even though that has been in the pipeline for more than a decade.
The data protection law has been in the making and has been conversational for 10 years.
Yes. So the concern right now is that we're following trends. We're following what other countries are doing. However, we do not have certain laws protecting and allowing us to act out on the trends that we're following through. It is good at national level, but the framing, our framework within our country does not allow for the proper protections that we look for in international protection sections, for instance. There is no private privacy protection, there's no data protection, there's no transparency.
Going back to what you were saying, like, you know, who has access to the data, who can retrieve it, and all of those things, does that mean if I have like a court case against someone that I can go retrieve their old conversations and stuff that I can use in as evidence? Or wait, am I not understanding? I'm a little bit lost.
So that is exactly the questions that we're having right now.
Okay.
So how much if Ministry of ITC comes out to say, no, that's not the case, this is a full statement of why and who and how this process is going to take place,
yeah,
we have no problem, because in essence, we want everybody to be identified. We want everybody, and we want our country to be without crime, right? Mm. So we want to use every and all ways in preventing crime. Mm. But there hasn't been any proven record to say that such actions in other countries has reduced crime.
In fact, other
studies has come out to say this has actually instigated more crime.
In an African context or just internationally?
Internationally.
Okay. Hold that thought, Osi Melanie. We'll get to this. We need to discuss this even more. because I want to understand where the Attorney General stands in this. I understand that you guys also made a plea to the United Nations, but we'll get to that in a bit. Stick around, don't go anywhere.
From the heart of Lamb Country, Heartleaf brings you a taste of the
Libya's heart and soul. We're bringing you the vibes and it's all today.
It is 8 to 29 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. We are having a, what should I call it, an exuberating conversation here just about the registration of SIM cards, okay? And Melanie Marcus is in studio, the director of the Civil Society Information Center in Namibia. And we basically just unpacking the why there is a bit of a pushback in terms of registering that's the SIMs. I don't know why registration is such a tough one for my tongue, for my Damara tongue this morning. But I don't know. But
did you have your board course?
I did not. I didn't. Oh. My traditional 4:30 a.m.
Do you know that he does that, right? Yeah, yes.
Osi Melanie, look, the points that you are raising here, right? As a citizen, as a learned citizen, I'm sitting and I'm thinking to myself, okay. Clearly, this seems to be no protection here. Protection is important in a democracy, especially if you're saying we're a democratic country, in a democratic system. What these concerns raised with the powers that be? Do you say, look, lawmakers, we understand that we want to move with the trends,
but
there's a couple of red flags here.
Yeah,
let's not forget this. There's no framework here. There's no protection bill here. There's nothing that protects Shaquan and I, and so on. What are these things raised with the lawmakers?
Okay, so how civil society operates often is sometimes we release reports on our various website. Okay. We do media posting, media statements.
Yes, you do.
And I think in 2021, Legal Assistance Center, a civil society organization, noted that it seems like the Namibian telecommunications data retention scheme might be found to be unconstitutional, infringement to the right of privacy overall, given the intrusion into privacy of large segments of populations.
Oh, snap.
In the manner that it has questionable ability to serve the intended objectives. So this was raised in 2021. In December 2023, a coalition of civil society organizations came together as we were preparing a report to the Civil and Political Rights Convention. So
that was not with the United Nations.
Nations. And this is one of the issues that were raised within that report. And 2 weeks ago, myself and the Legal Assistance Center director gave statements at the UN convention to the committee members in Geneva.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
My goodness.
And this is one of the key issues that were raised at this convention as we gave our statements to the human rights committees. So one of the so this is definitely an issue that was raised together when the Namibian review was done, and we had the Attorney General at that review as well with his delegation. So this was a question raised to him by the Human Rights Committee because it was flagged in our report as civil society. So yes, they are aware of our concerns. To which degree they take up this concerns, we're not sure because we did not get direct feedback in terms of whether our concerns are seen as valid. And therefore we do not know how it stands. They are very much aware of it, though.
I mean, the ICT ministry, they've especially the last 2 weeks or so, they've been aggressively pronouncing themselves on this, saying, look, there will be no extension for no reason whatsoever. So now my question is, if the Attorney General knows about this issue, right, and it's sitting on his desk, how is the ICT ministry aggressively saying that there will be no extension if the AG is sitting with this issue on his desk?
She knows.
Is there a disconnect here in terms of the overlapping powers or the overlapping conversations that need to be had in terms of this protection for citizens?
And perhaps also, has there been conversations with all parties in one room?
So with regards to consultation, there's always a hit and miss with government and the various stakeholders that are concerned in various actions. Yes, there has been consultation to the level of understanding of each and every sector. No, there hasn't been a sit around the table, for instance, to discuss an issue with civil society. That, for one, I can say. And then, like I said in the beginning, this is a very good tool for national surveillance purposes. And that is possibly why it is being pushed as hard. My concern, though, is the urgency. So I understand why we need this. I do not understand why we need this so quick, right now, without having the proper protection in place. So as civil society, being the watchdogs that we are, we don't often just raise complaints. We often provide recommendations as well in terms of how better we can address issues. And there are certain recommendations.
Let's talk about those recommendations. Let's talk about those recommendations.
So considering the significant gaps and challenges in the Namibian's framework for communication surveillance, a full reform process is recommended to provide better protection and safeguards for communications and communication data. Drawing on developing standards and best practices internationally and in the region.
So this full review will include who now?
Will include all sectors within our community. So we have various sectors. We have the government, we have the private sector, and we have civil society as well. So we often have multi-stakeholder committees that discusses various legislations and policies and the drafting thereof. So when we coming up with such actions, we need to take into account every voice, because we are a democratic state.
And a lot of people will definitely be affected.
Exactly. Yeah. Another recommendation is that the Namibian government must prioritize the finalization and the enactment of the Data Protection Bill and table it at Parliament. How and when this happens, as what will then guide us in terms of how are we protected, how and who has access to the data that we're retaining. And then to review the policy objectives. I've mentioned before that we seem to be, and this is something that was mentioned briefly at the UN convention as well, to say that other states are doing it and it has worked in other states.
So why don't we fall in line?
Exactly. Is that a good enough objective reason, or good enough reason for why we should also go into this? So therefore, review the policy objectives. Why are we doing it? Make everybody understand what are the objectives of the SIM card registration that we're calling our nation to act on.
The objections that the civil society had initially, was it because of, you know, there was this time partner when they wanted our
fingerprints,
police declarations, of that. Was that where the concern came about for the society itself?
It's mentioned some of this concern within the communications bill, communications policy, as coming as of 2021 as well. So there are clear loopholes. There are holes within our frameworks. So these holes that we have within our frameworks is what needs to be looked at, apart from just the fingerprints that we needed to,
because a lot of people were apprehensive about that, because I was also like, fingerprinter? No.
So the other thing though is now they're asking for residentials, but we also know, like, the housing situation in our country. Is the purposes that, or the reason why we go to the communication centers to register, are we putting up our real addresses? They're not asking for you to come with an affidavit to say this person is stationed
at
this place, and if it's under somebody else's name, it's also not stating that this person writes to confirm that this person actually lives there. There's no declaration being asked for.
This
information that we're giving, is it really that individual's correct information? This is the type of a follow-up that we need to know. And this is the type of things that we need to look at in a deeper sense to understand that in a serious crime case, for instance, this you use the data data that is on your SIM card to apprehend somebody, you might be apprehending the wrong person because this is the wrong address that that they have put up, for instance, because there hasn't been proper
a vetting process
for
to prove that this person lives there.
Yes.
Melanie, you left us with you're leaving us with something to think about, because I mean, again, I'm literally on the ministry's page right now, and they are seem to be embarking on a media campaign where they're having these conversations, but they're standing by
not extending the deadline.
Yeah. So perhaps just in a final word, March 31st hits. That's just listen. It takes years, right, for these bills to even pass through legislature to get to that point.
That's true.
March 31st is more. And then we're saying we don't have any protection. Are there plans from civil society and maybe also concerned citizens that have registered with you guys to say, listen, we stand with you, to perhaps follow through or to initiate some sort of class action? Because if you're saying we don't have protection and 31st is the cutoff date,
just,
and you're losing your number if you don't register, but now you've registered, but you're in a process, or you are a concerned citizen saying that, you know, we are not protected, what do we do? So is there a plan for civil society and maybe its affiliates to say, listen, we're going to initiate some sort of class action?
I wouldn't have direct information in terms of class action and so on. We will wait for the lower societies within our sector to come up with any actions if there are any in place. However, as a law-abiding citizen, I still plead that everybody does register their SIM cards. Okay. However, they do it understanding what they're doing it for, understanding what it comes with.
Yeah.
So the various policies that we don't agree with 100%, but we do not come out and act out and say we don't agree with this. What we can do thereafter is then just push for this data protection bill to be enacted in our country. So while we're pushing for it, we should still abide to what our government is calling us to do, which is to register our SIM cards, because as you've said before, we do not want to lose our SIM cards, and this is our way of communication, and this is how we access information, various information, and this is also how we can promote communication in terms of how to interact or come up with groups of people to understand our policies better, to understand our systems better, to also have a say in terms of what we want in our legislation in the country.
As we await for the decision from the Attorney General, we will keep in touch with you, Osi Melanie, and you will let us know where the AG has pronounced himself. I'm sure the papers will also write about it, but we have your direct communication now, and we really appreciate you bringing this to light. I can promise you right now, we learned today. We did not know the abbreviations for some. We did not know that we are not protected like that. And yes, the world is moving in a very digital data space. We should be protected as a country. We should. I think that goes without saying. So thank you so much, also Melanie and Marcus, as well as the whole of civil society for the incredible work that you guys do.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. It's 8:42 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. I'll see Melanie Marcus just putting a couple of things into perspective for us. If you missed the conversation, if you just joined us, we will have this conversation up on our website pretty soon. Also, someone walked away, or a couple walked away, with 50,000 Namibian dollars, compliments of Pick and Pay Namibia, simply because she said, "It's acha, vanir truji miyong."
It's on us. 102.9 Fresh FM.